Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm here with Mark Hinsbow to talk about what has to be one of the coolest things at Microsoft. Mark, thanks for being on the show. Before we start talking about the topic, let's first, who are you?
Well, I am Mark Hinsbow, as you said. Hey, Jerry, it's great to be here. I have the distinct pleasure of heading up our developer and platform evangelism in the U.S., so that's outreach to software developers, IT professionals, and software companies, small and large.
Very nice. And to put it all in perspective, you're my manager's manager.
Something like that.
It's cool to have you on the show. We're going to be talking about Imagine Cup. Yes. For those listeners out there who don't have any idea what Imagine Cup is, can you give us a primer?
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine Cup is the world's largest student technology competition. It's all about what the next generation of people that are passionate about software and how software can change the world and what they can do with it, celebrating that, recognizing that, and helping them be successful.
Just like you, I go around to a lot of schools. I see a lot of students, a lot of computer science majors, and some just right around the edges. There's a lot of enthusiasm. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of smart people out there, but there's not enough of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, we have way too few. I think, you know, certainly in the U.S. and probably in the most of the Western world, we have way too few students coming out with a technology and, you know, in our case, software development background specifically. I think there's some estimates that we are going to have 1 million jobs or so that are going to be unfilled simply because we don't have enough tech talent coming out of schools. And certainly, as you said, right, I mean, we talk to a lot of our customers and partners within Microsoft, the development software, and that's probably one of their top priorities as well is, you know, how do they get new talent into their companies. But on the positive side, as you said, you know, going around to schools, you know, working with students, seeing them build apps, man, it's a talented crowd that does a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, that's right. This isn't a Microsoft issue. This is an industry issue. Now, yep. There's this, this shortage of talent. How does Imagine Cup play into that?
Well, I think Imagine Cup plays into it in several ways. One, we want to give people that are already passionate about technology, whether they have a computer science or other degree, you know, an opportunity to have fun and compete, same as you can compete in almost every other, you know, sport or interest you might have. This is the competition for those of us that care about software, so that's one aspect of it. It's also a pretty broad program, right? It's not just for the people that come into the finals. So it's a way also of giving people a fun experience. I think, you know, you and I, Jerry, we talk a lot when we get nostalgic about, you know, the first experience we had with a computer or with software and the magic of that moment. So part of it is giving and helping. A lot of people are having one of those moments as well. And then given that it's, you know, such a broad and fun experience and we get a lot of PR, it also aims to, you know, highlight to others you know, what great opportunities there are with technology and what you can do with it, right? And I think I've said this before, but, you know, certainly I think seeing what students can do today is a much better role model to attract other students than necessarily seeing, you know, what you and I do. So it's both celebrating the students and what they're doing, as well as hopefully inspiring a ton of others to do the same.
Yeah, I think that inspiration point is really vital. A few weeks ago, I was lucky to go to the University of Hawaii in Hilo. They have one of the finalists there, you know, and I'm there talking to the team, and they are excited. They're anxious whether or not they'll win. They're excited to tell me all about the details of how they solve certain problems. As you go and you're meeting other students, are you seeing that same sort of enthusiasm?
I mean, that is probably, as you said, one of the coolest things we do, and it's one of the best things of my job. I mean, the raw enthusiasm and passion, I mean, it's unrivaled. And that's been true. I've been part of the Imagine Cup for you know, 10 years, and that's the one thing that has certainly always been constant, right? And I get as excited as they are.
Yeah. They have their teams put together across lots of different schools. When it comes to the Imagine Cup and kind of the timeline of Imagine Cup, we're at kind of a special time where some of the key students have already competed, and we're up to the finals. Can you talk about what we're going to see next week?
You bet. So, you know, as you pointed out, I mean, It is a competition, right? It is about fun, and we want to make sure that, that everyone's a winner as much as we can, but there's also that competitive element. So the Imagine Cup is run in such a way that there are national finals, and then that leads to a worldwide final. And we're approaching the U.S. finals, right? We will have it next week in Silicon Valley, and we're looking forward to seeing all the finalists down there. I'm sure that they are preparing the last minute pitches and polishes. I look forward to going down and meeting them, and then we will crown a couple of winners, and we will send some people off to the worldwide finals. This year that's in St. Petersburg in Russia. It's July 8 to 11, where we'll have the worldwide finals, and there we'll get to see, you know, the best of the best from around the globe.
It's cool. We're going to have some good representation, too, from here from the U.S., some exciting ones. I've gone through the list and looked at the idea. They're all so clever, you know. I wish I was as clever as they are sometimes. It's just,
yeah, I wish I could do that stuff when I was in school as well.
Yeah,
you know, I could do 20 print mark, you know, 20 go to 10. These guys are a little...
Get the worm to make the worm kind of move around in the box.
Yeah, something like that.
Let me ask you, if you are... if you're a student and you're presenting at these finals, it's more in the more of the audience is not just developers, but there are business opportunities because of venture capitals, yep, in there. There's a lot for a student here.
Yep. No, and I think that's one of the fun, you know, evolutions we've had of the Imagine Cup. You know, coupling it with entrepreneurship, coupling it with business opportunities. And I think it's also true for you to be successful today, whether you're a student or anything else, you typically need that cross-disciplinary team. And yeah, we've seen that on the student side. So typically, right, you might have business students working with technologies, working with designers, you know, maybe working with a domain expertise if it's within medical or in gaming. You might have musicians adding with, you know, to the team. So I think it's, you know, it's more and more over the last couple of years. Imagine Cup has not just been a competition for the software developer, but for the software development team that has a lot of disciplines to be successful. And then, as you said, that's also true on the judges' side. We have successful entrepreneurs, we have venture capitalists, we have technical people from within the industry, we have people that are more on the press side of things. So it's also a cross-sectional judging team.
Yeah, and a lot of the people who are involved in Imagine Cup, they're involved because of the same reason that we are, right? It really is an inspiring the next generation to kind of pick up the mantle of where we've come and to innovate even further.
Yeah,
it's a neat piece that I know that the contest is broken into three categories of, you know, there's games, there's innovation. Those are the ones I think everybody could guess. But there's also this global citizenship. Why do you think that was included in Imagine Cup?
Well, it's always been, I'd say, a driving factor of when we started Imagine Cup, that this is to do both good, if you want, for the next generation, because we see a ton of, you know, job opportunities and opportunities to change the world if you come with this background, if you know how to develop software, and so that's been part of it. And then we wanted to couple that with both Microsoft, as you know, right, we have a strong background of our giving campaign that where every employee can participate to whatever course they are passionate about. We've given over $1 billion to charity through that program. So that sort of innate desire to help make the world a better place is part of the Microsoft culture, and it's also a part of the generation of students that are coming now. So marrying that as part of Imagine Cup, I think, has worked out really, really well. So we have seen people tackle how to diagnose malaria, how to handle food shortages or natural disasters, and bring IT in to help orchestrate the rescue efforts. So it's really been incredible to see sort of the ideas that the students have of how technology can help this world be a better place.
Yeah, Magic Cup has really taken a lot of the innovation that's kind of bubbling in all these students and being able to focus to really make it useful, help make the world better. I think a lot of people, you know, they see Microsoft and they see Windows, they see .NET, they see SQL Server. What they don't see is what a good company we really are, you know, and how much we give back. And Magic Cup is just one example of how we give back. There are so many other things. You listed through quite a few of them. And I think this sort of imparts into our student generation this same sort of giving mentality that drives a lot inside Microsoft.
Yeah. And I also think it's sort of part of the developer community at large. As you know, we have a lot of these non-for-profit hackathons we do where we bring some non-profit organizations that need some specific goals solved together with the local developer community, and a lot of coffee, and we code all night and help solve some of their problems. Yeah. And that's just not a Microsoft thing, right? That's the broader community getting together in these give camps. So yeah, it's awesome to see it, you know, from students to corporate giving to the community giving back. That's pretty rewarding.
Yeah, there's a lot of generosity in all of these communities, and to bring them together like this, especially to encourage them and spur them on through the Imagine Cup. Let's pretend I'm really interested in seeing these finals. How can I tune in?
Well, I'd say if there's one URL we want people to remember, it's probably imaginecup.com. So you can always go there or find it. But we will stream it live through Channel 9. During the day. So you can also go to Channel 9 at Microsoft and we'll share the link. Go click in on the day. We'd love to see people online. It's pretty exciting. And I mean, you really should treat yourself to see these students present their finalist project. There's no way you don't get to be part of the passion and get sort of a little bit carried away as you see it. It's tough for the judges to have to, you know, rank and rate them because you want to make everyone number one as you see them present their ideas.
Yeah, it's contagious. Their enthusiasm is contagious. Their creativity, all of it is right there. So I can watch it at imaginecup.com. This is for college students, just as a clarification. If I were in college next year, I wish, then can I participate? Is it for all college students?
Yep. It's open for everyone. Again, you know, go to imaginecup.com, check out the criteria. Any school, any student can participate. You can make it part of a school project with your teacher. You could do it individually on the side. You know, almost everyone, as we talked about, form small teams, you know, three, four people, and compete together. And there you can also see some more details on which categories, you know, what are the judging criteria for each category and so on. We help people along the way. This year we had some new things we did. We brought some of the competitors down to Silicon Valley to work in an incubator style, get feedback and coaching and help along the way, which is part of, you know, both developing the software but also developing the business idea and what could you do to take it to the next level. So there's lots of help along the way. You're not alone in the endeavor.
So it's not just show up with your program. It's we can also give you probably a kind of consulting and certainly mentorship along the way.
Exactly. And there, as you go through the Imagine Cup competition, there are also deadlines that start with submitting an idea, and then you go through beginning to code, and you have more of a proof of concept phase, and then you go polish your project and so on. So there are a number of milestones that help you sort of deliver along the way.
This is an excellent experience for students, too, because there is a reality to software does have deadlines. You do have things you have to deliver, and it gives, you know, you bring this level of confidence, you know, when you've competed like this and really started building on it. There's so many upsides, not to mention there's some crazy good prizes associated to this as well. And so the winner is certainly the winner, no doubt about it. And are you going to be going to Russia?
Unfortunately, I don't think so. I'm still holding out hope that I'm going to make it. I love the worldwide finals. So, you know, maybe I'll make it, but I'm certainly there for the U.S. finals, which I'm really looking forward to.
We can watch the finals in Russia, the worldwide finals on imagicup.com as well, just like we can the U.S. finals. The dates again, U.S. finals is going to be June.
So the date for our U.S. finals is now Monday, May 13th, down in the Valley, where we'll have our U.S. finals. And as you said, you can tune in live and watch it. And then the worldwide finals are July 8 to 11 in St. Petersburg in Russia, you know, one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
Oh, brilliant. We'll be sure not to miss it. Mark, thanks for talking to me about this. I can tell you have an excitement around it. I certainly do, too. Hopefully all of our viewers will be tuned in. They'll be able to see what's there and encourage any students that they may know. And if their students themselves get involved next year. Thanks
and
again
I say
for
certainly
the
take
show.
The list, take a look at the list of the finalists. You know, maybe they are from a university close to you, or you know, a university you went to. So go cheer on them, same as you would for the school's football team. I think they deserve it. They're, you know, as much heroes as any athlete.
That's right. You could be their cheerleader if you need to be.
Exactly.
That's right. All right, Mark. Thanks for being on the show, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Jerry.